huge watershed. Most of that water comes in and feeds perhaps into that Pomo basin, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of movement between what serves Santa Maria and the Pomo. The inflow is similar.
The big issue of the study, there's an out-migration from the Pomo Basin. There's a portion going to the north into the Roaring Mani Valley, there's a portion going to the Santa Maria Valley, and a small portion going up the ocean.
That's kind of an overflow.
Yeah, the basin. Because of the higher, you have capillary access, so therefore the groundwater is higher and it goes downhill.
What she's saying is that our local water is not from our local region because of other places.
On the main, about 100% of it's from rainfall. There's no stream flow or anything like that recharged in the groundwater in the Pomo Basin.
So why would it have to be?
Well, it has to be a little bit further, but it comes from.
It's the San Emigdio Mountains, really, but it runs into the Tehachapi. It's the south part of San Joaquin Valley, the San Emigdio.
The last question I have is on the domestic reserve again. What direct impact do you use the counter do you expect from water management?
From what?
What kind of interference or effects do we expect from the water management? Or is this strictly for business
management? AB 3030 itself prohibits management of groundwater extraction facilities used to provide water for domestic purposes to a single-family residence or granny flat, unless the groundwater basin is subject to critical conditions. And those critical conditions are not determined by the local agency. The groundwater is determined by the state water resource people. So it's an independent finding. But as a practical matter, as what Carl's pointed out, typically residential wells are the shallowest. I mean, I think UO's experiencing an overdraft condition, typically, depending on where your well is within the teacup of the basin. Will be experiencing the overdraft and overdraft condition ahead of other users, typically.
But
you're saying you can't keep us from taking water out, but
somehow
you can
assess these? No, the private owner of residences are basically exempt from the plan. The agency can't come in and impose fees on you unless they do it.
Unless you're an overdraft.
Critical overdraft. Yeah,
established by another
agency.
So when we have the election, the fees are irrelevant to residents?
Single family
residents are exempt from the plan.
Under all circumstances?
Except for critical overdraft.
That has to be an independent finding by state water resources.
Let me read the section of the code that John is referring to. What? It says, except in those groundwater basins that are subject to critical conditions of overdraft as identified in the Department's Bulletin 118-80, revised on December 24, 82, and then it goes on to exempt domestic wells.
Well, you're talking about
they would apply to whoever is included in the zone of benefit by the water management agency, so in that sense they probably could apply to a single residence. Everybody wants a fee.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Lots of fees.
The agency's ability to levy assessments, that power to levy assessments must first be voted on by the people. That's number one. Okay, so their ability to assessed fees is subject to a majority vote of the people that are within the area. That's number one, which would include the residents. Number two is that every meeting that would be subject to this, at this right now hypothetical board, would be subject to the Brown Act, and within the AB 3030, they have to make specific findings based on it on their engineer's report. Now, the way that this is envisioned to be set up by everyone that has used one of these agencies that I am aware of, the first step is knowledge. You gather the information about what the groundwater basin is all about. That's the first mission of every board that manages groundwater is knowledge. It is not to assess fees. Once you gain the knowledge, then you make a determination. Do we need capital projects? Do we need this? The answer may be yes and it may be no. If they are going to say yes, then in order to assess fees, they need to hold an election to gain that power. So it is not meant, it's meant to be an open, public agency whose primary function is to gain knowledge, to make a determination of what is out there, not only as to the quantity of water that is in the basin, not only to the extractions that are coming out of the basin, but to the quality of the water supply. I mean, there's basically three issues that every district that has an AB 3030 has to address. The lowest priority, when you level those things down, is unless you find that there is a need to create facilities to manage the groundwater, there's not going to be an assessment. Unless there is a finding of the water quality is of such a nature that there, number one, that it is impairing the ability of the groundwater basin to produce potable water, there isn't going to be a need for an assessment to do it. But my experience, and I'm a lawyer, but my experience is the hardest thing for any agency, any elected official to do is to create taxes. I mean, it's not the favorite thing of anybody to do. So I think that I see some head shaking out there, but my experience is that generally speaking, the boards that I've represented, they've always had a very difficult time in leveling assessments. So I know it is possible. There's no two ways about it. It is possible. But you can weigh for yourself what the likelihood of it is going to be. And what the knowledge is, it's always going to be based on a report and a study that says that this is necessary in order for us to maintain the quantity of water that we need and the quality of water that we need. And it's going to be controlled by local people who are actually taking water from the groundwater management basin.
Okay, Matt, if you have one more question, you might like to pose
to us,
and I want to get on to someone else.
I'd like to make an observation. I've never, ever in my experience, and I've been on several committees and things myself, is that they've never willingly terminated the construction. Once voted in, they never cease to exist, and they never get smaller. And I would say just the whole thing. Data taking is wonderful, there's no reason why you can't do it.
Okay, yes, sir, in the back.
I can't even say my name in 3 minutes. My name is Bert Fugate. I live at 215 Ranch Road. I have just a couple of observations. I'd like to appear as if he was curious. I want to be a friend of the court. A couple of things we've been enmeshed in water issues in this county for a number of years, as several of you know. And I know that also know that it's easier to get into a pipe than it is to get out of a pipe. The district in which you serve in the state, referred in Ventura County, our good friend Scott Slater from Santa Barbara, who walks on water, indicated to us that in a very extensive educational process up here about 2 summers ago, that it took $10 million to adjudicate that basin, and he thought that was the small end of it. So I pose the same question to our board. If you pass the resolution tonight, or any time, do you have a budget? Do you have a realistic idea of what that budget is going to entail? Because again, it's going to be easier to get into this than it is to get out of it. The other thing that seems a little bit short-sighted on my part to see the maps that you put up here, our education to date would indicate that there is an overflow from the Nipomo sub-basin into the major basin in the Santa Maria Valley alluvial plain. If that is the case, and if that's proven to be the case, then the Nipomo sub-basin becomes a source for the Santa Maria Basin, if in fact they are separated. Doesn't that make the Santa Maria Valley people a participant, a legitimate participant in the considerations of what goes on in the management of this source of water for their basin? I think that you've got to enlarge, I would suspect, that you've got to enlarge the area of concern. And then I think you've got to enlarge the documentation and the amount of time and expense. I heard a 90 to 120 days used a minute ago. I can tell you friends and neighbors who won't even be able to say your name in 120 days to get into this subject. It is really a tar baby. And again, amicus curiae that I pay taxes in this area, I pay water bills. And I'm wondering where you think this budget is going to come from. And it's going to be a lot larger than what you're admitting to.
Do you want to say a few words about operating fees, Doug? Do you have any feelings for that at this time?
No, right now I don't. Basically, the district is how do I know what the fees are? Because I don't know what the plan is. And basically, the district is in this administrative aspect of trying to put this thing together for the benefit of everyone on the mesa. Not for the district, for the benefit of everyone in the mesa. That's a very probably difficult concept to come up. A public entity is always suspicious. Most agencies, there's a study done that 76% or 67% is by people who trust public entities. And we're a public entity. We're part of the bureaucracy, but a small bureaucracy and other bureaucracies. I think the board is very concerned. Staff, I think, is very dedicated to this district. They try to do the best thing they can for the economic development. And we're looking at it for everybody on the whole mesa. If we weren't, we wouldn't even be sitting here. And the answer, when you talk about $10 million, that's the problem of going with the adjudication of a basin. You don't form a management district, and you look at adjudication, and you look at box. And the whole process of the thing is not to go to adjudication. To me, that the thing makes... Let me read the legislation, okay? The legislation, this is the first preamble of the law, of AB 3030. The legislature defines and declared that groundwater is a valuable natural resource in California and should be managed to ensure both safety, production, and quality. It's an intent of the legislators to encourage local agencies to work cooperatively to manage groundwater resources for their jurisdictions. And that's the whole process. That's what the legislation stands for. That's what this district is trying to do, is start a process where everyone in this basin can manage their water supply to the maximum use. And bringing the district has been very active in trying to get supplemental water into the area. And every time we bump up with it, we've been defeated. And we keep trying and trying and trying. And to bring water in here doesn't necessarily benefit the district, it benefits everybody. And you people have approached me about clean water, actually saying, yeah, I'd like to get 4,000, 5,000 acre feet. The district needs 1,500, 2,000 acre feet. I was just looking after this because we just want 1,500 to with everybody else. But I can say 4,000, 5,000, I like 2,000, 3,000 for ag use. Preserve the ag area in the district, in the valley. The only reason I drew the line to include the valley because I see a beneficial aspect for the farmers in the valley. If I was not that thinking that way, I'd exclude them. And so everybody said, hey, here's the district. The bad guys. actually, we're trying to wear the white hat and do good for everybody in the basin.
I really agree with you there, Doug. I'm just saying that I'm not sure that the fact that the Pomo Community Services District should front the costs for the almost county-wide benefit. And it almost gets there. As a matter of fact, it's going to involve two counties before it stops.
The legislation says when you have two managed agencies within this on the ballot, you'll have them in the Pomo Valley, you have them in the Pomo plan, and then you have the Santa Maria plan. The legislation requires those agencies annually to get together to manage things. In the long run, it will probably be one agency managing the whole Santa Maria Valley from Aurora County down to Oregon. But you have to go step by step, okay? And the aspect of funding that thing, the district has taken the initiative doing that. I'm sure we'll be calling the county and Southern California Water Company to throw some change into the pot to get this thing going.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, on that question,
Okay, given this map here, this area that you've drawn, and the water code that you passed out tonight, I'm referring specifically to Chapter 3, 10752A. Please do that. I'm going to shorten up the passage for those who do not have this water code in front of them so they understand what I'm referring to. Any local agency, I'm going to flip a little bit of the paper over there, may adopt and implement a groundwater management plan pursuant to this park within all or a portion of its service area. My question is now, by what law are you using to draw an area outside of your district in this map tonight?
The response to that is that the agency itself would be the groundwater basin, not the district. The law provides that a public agency has to initiate the process. Please understand, this is to anybody that believes that the Pomo Community Service District would be the managing board for the agency, that is an incorrect thought. The agency itself that would be created would be the agency that would cover the groundwater basin if it was created.
Wouldn't that require a
backup? No, what happens is we'd have to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Southern California Water Company and other private water companies. I think Google Water Company in the northern end, they're supposed to be sending me their boundary, and also the County Flood Control District. We cannot manage an area outside the district boundary. There is a method under a replenishment district that the district board could manage the area outside, but it's more difficult in the board, and difficult. It was better to get participation going to AB 3030 and get everyone's input into it instead of just the district input.
And you do that with the memorandum of understanding or joint powers agreements, as Carl Hauke outlined earlier. Yes, question in the back there, lady in blue.
Hi, my name is Martha Dukes, I live on Calendar Road. I'm really confused, I haven't got a straight answer yet. Does this mean that there will definitely not be any meters placed on wells that are used on individual families?
At this point in time, can this board guarantee you that your wells will never be metered? The answer is no. And the reason why is because the plan that would be drafted by everybody's participation would address that issue. So we're not in a position here to tell you what's even going to be in the plan, because the plan itself would be a document that would be drafted with public input and things, and that plan would address that issue. But residential use is exempt from metering, so I mean that's the question. The code sections itself address that issue. But you have to understand the process here. We are not here forming a groundwater management district. We are here to determine whether or not the district should go forward and attempt to include everybody in there and develop a plan for a groundwater management district. Because the concept is we get the plan itself, if presented and passed by the landowners, by assessed evaluation, included a metering proviso, then the answer would be yes. You can take a look out there in the audience and draw your own conclusions about what the chances are of there being a metering provision in that plan. My more honestly, as a lawyer and as a lawyer, I would say it's very, very small.
That brings me to one more question.
You have to approve the fees.
Okay, and as far as this protest, the 50% of the valuation of the land of the people, that would mean that if the entire value of all of the land in the district you have outlined there, somebody who owns a parcel of land that was, say, worth $200,000 would have the equivalent of 10 more votes than somebody who had a parcel of land that was worth $20,000.
That's the way it goes, right?
And so in a petition drive or something to that effect, how would this be determined? Would we just have to write our assessment number on the petition, or?
Well, basically I think the code provides for two ways of protesting. One is that you can send in a letter of protest, say if you protest and you put your parcel number in there, and we send the, you go to the assessment roll, put the evaluation on it, and score the vote. The other way that it can be done is that I believe that you can come to the meetings themselves and come into the microphone just like you're doing right now and register your protest.
I would like to register my protest.
Yes, sir, right there, third row.
You don't have to change the map, but the other map shows three distinct subunits. The Oceano, that's okay, I can remember the numbers. Subunit for Oceano, subunit for Santa Maria Valley, and then the Pomo Mesa subunit. Well, my name is Peter Hesse. I'm a production manager for growing operation on Mesa Road. And I think most of the people in this room know that most of the water is on the Mesa Road side or that side of the Mesa. So that's a whole different kind of water. The other side of the Mesa, on the east side of Highway 101, is a whole different kind of water. There's not a lot of water over there. If you go across, drive along Pomeroy Road, and you go towards Oceano, north side of the Mesa is dry, south side of the Mesa has good water. So really, what basin are we talking about? That's a big question. The other thing is that our well, even in the worst of the drought, never went into overdraft, and now has improved by 100 feet. So I don't think we're in an overdraft at this point. The worst of the drought, I want to repeat, the worst, we were not in any problem. Our drought, in fact, our water didn't change.
How deep is your well?
I think it's 300 feet. Yeah, it's 300 to 15 or someplace. And we have excellent water. And the growers on the Mesa know about the excellent water. I think everybody who wants water knows about the excellent water, and that's what we're talking about. So we're not talking about the Pomo Mesa as a subunit. We're talking about where the good water is. And that's quite different.
You raise a very good point about the hydrogeology of the area. If you look at the basin that John described, the Santa Maria Basin, that's what's just defined here in this bulletin. But it was defined based on the data available at that time. More work has been done now, so it's broken down into three sub-basins. As whatever district gets formed, or if a district does get formed, as they begin to collect more data and understand more about the basins, they'll probably find that there's a zone here that doesn't need any help because water levels are rising, and there's a zone over here that may be an overdraft. And this is just normal because you never know all you need to know about groundwater. But the law allows for that in that zone, the first zone, which has rising water levels, doesn't need any help, so therefore they're not going to pay anything. This zone over here might agree that they need some help, so they might be assessed some valuation. And zones of benefits are a common means of doing this, and you have to define the zone of benefit and what the benefit is that accrues to that landowner before you can propose any assessment.
Sir, the blue shirt.
My name is Roland Meeks. I live on the south end of Mesa. I have a, it's called a review of groundwater conditions in the northern Santa Maria Basin. Now, this is prepared for the Office of the Environmental Coordinator of County of Santa Luis Obispo. It's dated July of 1990. I'd like to read just about four sentences here. They're talking about the Como Mesa, the groundwater basin definition. It says here that the water-bearing rocks beneath the Como Mesa are part of the northeasterly flank of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. There is, therefore, no geological basis for an Arroyo Grande groundwater basin or a Como Mesa sub-basin, and the use of these terms should be avoided. Now the next point, another sentence says that the Como Mesa differs from adjacent areas only in that it is underlain by a thick sand section and topography that promote high rates of recharge. Now, also in this report are a number of maps and underground profiles that they propose exist here. A cursory examination of this leads one to believe that the Como Mesa area could be the contributor of water, groundwater to the Santa Maria area. The strata underground here slope in a southerly fashion. Now, if that be the case, considering that the area of the mesa is all composed of sand, thusly percolating water in at a higher rate, it could be considered the mesa area is a relatively large feeder of water to the Santa Maria area. If that's the case, will the formation of this district be able to control the Santa Maria area drafting of water to the extent that they will not be allowed to propose a threat to our water?
The answer to that is we may be able to do that. We don't know for sure, but as you might expect, you know, Santa Maria residents and pumpers are going to be negatively affected by anything that this groundwater management agency does to reduce outflow from and pump subunit to Santa Maria. And so that's one of the reasons that the Santa Maria Water Management Agency is going to be forced to, or we are forced to, get into negotiations with them, at least annually, probably more, a lot more frequently than that, to address those types of conflicts. But you touched on an issue that, that the water under the pump is at a higher relative elevation, so hydrologically speaking, that's
right.
Some basins around it. So there is, most research shows that there is an outflow to that area. Would you like to, I'm sorry?
An outflow with an overdraft at the same time?
Yes. There is an overdraft condition. There are many reports that substantiate that. We can argue that all night long. You can probably name one or two that say not, and I can maybe name three or four that say it is. But a lot of the foundational work for the state water resources, the all the background work that was done for the state water project indicate that, that both basins, both Santa Maria and the Nipomo area, are overflowed. And an overflow is a factor of that, an outflow. So. Yes, sir. Could you come up and ask a question? Feel free to come up and ask your question.
Maybe just to touch on, well, I come up to answer your question. The aspect of having a groundwater management agent for the Mesa versus the one that maybe exists in the Santa Maria Valley. The Santa Maria Valley agency may pump my crazy and pull all the water off the Mesa. If you have an agency up here, you have a chance of basically coordinating those activities and protecting the groundwater.
I promise
the lady
in green question. Could you come on? Come on.
My name is Noreen Kosh. I'm a landowner on Mesa Road. I have a small family business agriculture. My questions are mostly pertaining to the steering committee. I'm not quite sure still who's actually going to appoint the steering committee. I spoke to Mr. Jones yesterday, and I understood, and correct me if I'm wrong, that staff has already spent time on a proposed draft.
Not a draft of the groundwater management plan.
A draft? Well,
oh, just the resolution of the extension.
Yeah, we have a resolution that we have a rough draft prepared by our legal counsel, and we're looking at the aspects of putting it together. As previously mentioned by Collier, some agencies get running start for preparing a draft before adopting the resolution of extension.
So that indeed has happened. We've got a resolution.
We're moving forward in that aspect of it.
Okay. I was also wondering what kind of public notice and how much time would be given prior to, you know, future meetings and regarding the steering committee and so forth.
The law requires two public notices 2 weeks in advance of any public hearing.
Okay.
Notices have to be 5 days apart.
Okay.
5 days apart. They're usually published once a week for 2 weeks and the meeting held after that.
Does that apply to the steering committee?
Pardon?
Does that apply to the steering committee?
No, this will be just a public entity.
So that wouldn't apply to the steering committee?
That gives the Brown Act, I'll let the legal counsel.
I think that would be an issue that the committee that we would want to address. Obviously, there are three members or four members that are known or are identifiable that would sit on what we would call, you call it the steering committee, I would say it's more or less the committee that would draft the groundwater management plan, the proposed one. But those members would be we would consider the major pumpers on the ballot. One would be Ag, one would be Southern California Water Company, one would be Nipomo, one would be the Cap Flood Control District. If the flood control district wanted to, then there would be a decision within that organization. I would assume the first decision they would come is how are they going to publish their meetings.
I'm sure maybe I'm missing something here, but who is actually going to appoint this committee? I still don't have an answer
well,
to that.
Okay.
Sorry.
As you can tell, AB 3030 does not say who sits on these committees. Okay. So we don't even know.
The standing.
Huh?
The people with the standing should be sitting on the board. Like the overlying landowners.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody is disagreeing.
No, it's not the overlying landowners. It's so patronizing to give the overlying landowners one vote, and then you give the appropriators a vote. And the community services district would vote, and the county would vote, and you've got everybody outnumbered, and then
One of the things I want to address that, I'll do it right now, is that is what is the subject of the plan. People are out there, and they're speculating as to what the plan is going to say is who are going to be the members of the agency. And I think that before you run into those speculations, all those speculations would be alleviated by looking at the plan that is proposed to the voters.
There's not going to be a plan proposed to the voters. There'll be a plan proposed to the board
No, that's incorrect. Here's what, the process is this. If this board tonight adopts a resolution to prepare a plan, okay, once that plan is prepared, then it is subject to the first vote that we previously discussed, where there is a protest vote or a vote by assessed evaluations. So those folks that own the land.
Excuse me, that's not an election. It's a majority protest process.
That's correct. That's right.
Don't go to the ballot box.
Okay, all right.
I care about that thing.
Right, okay, thank you. I stand corrected, and that point is well taken. It's not an election as to what you would consider going to the elected ballot. It would be a meeting similar to this with all the hearing protests where the plan would be published, and those people that protested the plan based on property evaluations would register their protests. You're right.
Okay, let's let the lady continue with her question.
I just got a couple more. You can probably answer pretty quickly. Would interest individuals be able to bring data into this process? Would that be accepted?
Sure, yes.
Yes.
It's encouraged.
Okay, now what kind of technical data would be used, and who would choose what kind of technical data?
We'll have a good feel for that.
Yeah, one of the first things that is true in every study is getting agreement on the data. I was involved in a groundwater issue in another county where we had drawn a groundwater elevation map, and the county brought their map in, and there were some minor disagreements, but they said, you didn't use our data. And it was the first time that it ever occurred to me that we could disagree on the data, but that's an important thing. And I think right up front, you have to understand, you have to begin to develop what data are you going to use? Well, the first thing is groundwater levels. Now, how do you get groundwater levels? You train somebody to go out and do it so that you're always measuring from the same point at the same well. Because you've got to have faith in the groundwater data you collect. And I think you need to begin training people to collect data. What I tell people is if they have a water well and they don't measure the water level once a month, they're bad managers. And they need to do it according to the standards that create good measurements. The same with water quality samples. When you take a water quality sample, there ought to be a protocol to follow so that the water quality sample means the same thing every time you take it. That's something that ought to be worked out by whatever steering committee is appointed with the help of whatever experts, technical experts you might need. Well, I'm from Sacramento, so I'm here to help you. Let me just say that it seems... Let me just recommend that perhaps this meeting is premature in that somebody from the county's Board of Supervisors, somebody from the Pomo, somebody from Cal Cities, ought to get together and work out the details of how to proceed. I hope that doesn't throw a clinker in what you guys are trying to do, but
it seems important before you have the meeting.
No, let's hold up.
It seems to me that that's where you need to start and work out some ground rules, who's going to be included. The whole point of the AB 3030 process is to exclude nobody. The whole point of AB 3030 is to be sure that everybody involved is included. And everybody's concerned about fees and metering. I guess I have a simple answer or a simple question for that. That is, would you rather that your well goes dry if overdraft continues, or would you rather pay a small fee?
I'm not sure there is overdraft.
Well, it needs to be established. That's one of the things that needs to be established.
Okay. Let's take another question from the lady here in the white top. We don't know who's going to be on the steering committee.
How
are you appointed? Who has
the decision?
Is there an answer
to
that question?
I think the logical thing is look out there who are all the users on the mesa. Make sure everyone out there is represented.
Yeah, but who has the authority to do that, sir?
the people that want to be represented
yeah.
don't have a different office. They can only be represented.
Yeah, anybody interested in coming.
Your interest in participation is considered.
No, it has to get done.
I don't get
100 people wanting to be on the steering committee.
The naysayers are paranoid. This is just a meeting
that
they start. You understand that a lot of these things will be driven out when the plan is developed?
The plan
has not been developed.
Okay,
now during the first few months when drafts are being considered, that is the time when those that are interested and feel they are either negatively or positively affected or want their voices heard to come down and express their opinions.
Down
to the office, right, because we are the initiators of the plan. Because we are, at this point, the only local agency undertaking this effort.
Okay, so you will establish decide who is, who the experience leads will be comprised of the agency.
We're going to have to look at all the people that are interested.
And
you'll
have a final decision on that. That's what I told you.
I just don't know. I just don't have
to do that.
Who appoints
those four people? Just tell us who appoints the four-member draft committee.
Come and state your name and your residence and state of mind. And we'll address it. That's the word.
Can I say something about the same thing on this board? I have a clue that we're going to do.
Is there a consensus of people out there that see something else on here that is so much better than 8030
version. Do it, Josh. But that is not working.
Well, I'm just saying that we can't have, you know, to have too much opposition in very early conceptual phases is counterproductive because the other possibilities facing us are pretty grim. And this is an opportunity to become proactive and not react to some education process.
And I think most of the people that are objective.
I don't disagree that it is a wise practice for all of us sitting on this basin of water, whether it's a little basin or a monster basin, to look at the future and manage that resource.
Okay,
it's extraordinarily precious. And I think that nobody disagrees with that. But when you talk about one more government program that's going to help us all out, down with all the stakeholders, and I think Toya is right. This is premature to have a notice of intent to form this district until you have some prior meetings. And I told this to Doug when I met with him. I had one meeting with Doug. I have not talked about this with any other supervisor. I haven't talked about it with the engineering department. I was waiting for some joint meetings to be formed. I never heard of those. Apparently you've had discussions at your public meeting. But, you know, your public meetings deal with the urban area of Nipomo, and normally the rest of the folks out there would not be involved in those discussions. And so I think it's important to get a volunteer group of folks to sit down and gather some facts here about really what we're talking about. Get some answers to the questions that were posed tonight in writing. And, for instance, it was identified four major agencies. The County Flood Control District is one of them. The Flood Control District either supplies water or it takes it out of the ground and pumps it someplace else. So why would the Board of Supervisors be involved in this? This is a local issue. It involves all of the... storm, things that you're talking about. I think we can get there, but unless everybody feels comfortable, we won't go, and it would be, I think, disastrous if we don't look at the future and see how we can cooperate on the water. But it has to be everybody feeling comfortable in a setting that's not regulatory, that's not threatening. And I think these kinds of public efforts become threatening to the citizens, and we don't want to do that.
Absolutely. About the county involvement. They haven't been involved from our standpoint because they have land use authority. And we consider annexations.
Yes, basically all that area outside the district boundary, the county has to get involved. The agency cannot come together without a memorandum of understanding with the county.
I don't think it's the question. I think it's the board.
Could not possible.
But there has to be some county representation there. Definitely. Yes, sir.
George Gibson down at Fellow Engineering, he's studying all the answers to those wells and how deep they are and everything else. He has tons of data. Why are we building up something to get all this data? As the president, as the supervisor practically said, it's out there. Why don't we get it all together first and then come on?
There's been a lot of firms that have collected data. Lawrence System, McFarland, maybe George Gibson, we'll use the best of our abilities to have a piece of the
bail. Why not first and let us know where it is? Plus, what does the need have yet to hear that?
The preponderance of the data we've reviewed indicates it's an overdraft. Now, the site size, as Mr. Seitz has outlined, is 4,000 to 6,000 feet.
That's the whole property. You have to keep transform agency to put all the data together. The district side on charge is great data to put all the data for everybody on the mesa, which is a greater pumping capacity than the district combined. And so therefore you create an agency that has the funding capacity to go out and do this thing. If we created the data, who would believe us?
Let me say for a moment, I agree with a lot of what Mrs. Brackett said and the lady in the front here from Laguna Negra. I think it's kind of, this meeting is probably a bit premature. We need to have another couple of meetings before we do the resolution of intention. If not for anything else, to have everyone feel more comfortable and have more opportunities to ask questions, call the office, come down and visit and all that type of thing. So, I don't know what
I think
the approval for the rest of the board members. Let's kind of squash the idea of approving the resolution tonight. Answer a few more questions to less vulnerability.
Yeah, we need some bunch of representatives out there to come in and have a meeting and sit down and go over the AD 3030 plan and what can be done, what cannot be done. And like I said, there's copies here and can read this as well as anybody else. It's pretty plain English. You don't have to be a legal counsel to understand it. And if anyone wants to be involved in this situation, you know, we're looking for input. That's why we're having this meeting. That's why I set up 60 notices in this thing.
Lady in the white coat.
We have a workshop environment, not this public hearing with an intent to do or not do an action.
Yeah, the district has had two of those in me.
That's working. We can do others. Yes, ma'am, 43 children.
I'm a Chairman of Frederick. I'm a family farmer in the foothill area of Nkomo. One of the first things that I learned in law school is to know what you don't know and to find out before you make decisions. And it's absolutely abundantly clear that this NCSD board and their advisors not have the answers to many of the questions that we have been asking, so I agree wholeheartedly with Ruth and with just a small suggestion that you not make a decision, and that was one of my comments, was why the big rush. With regard to the issue of overdraft, I have had the opportunity to study the issue a little bit, and I can tell you that the information that I have is that those studies that reflect an overdraft were based upon faulty analysis, and that those studies are now being reviewed by other entities in order to establish whether there is in fact an overdraft. And the other thing is that everyone knows that studies can be contrived. You have to look at who the source of the study, who was the author of the study, for whom was the study generated. And I think if you look at who those studies were generated for, you'll see that the results of those studies were very self-serving. And I can also see a situation where this board or whatever, and I'm going to address that issue in a second, whoever it is that's going to make the decision whether or not to go ahead with this will select those studies which are self-serving to their needs. The other thing I'd like to say in response to Mr. Small's suggestion that they put off this meeting and that we have some other meetings just so that we all feel better, as a property owner and a business person in this community and a farmer in this community, I'm not interested in being placated. I'm interested in having whatever happens be the result of what this community wants and feels. And it seems clear to me that given the fact that you've admitted that you have already started the rough draft of some type of proposal and you scheduled your notice to intent vote for tonight, and I, the same night as your public hearing, that it's very clear in your mind that this is what you're going to do despite feedback from the community. And I'm certainly not pleased with that, and I hope that you won't take that type of an attitude.
This is the public hearing to consider the resolution of intention. That's why it's simply, that's why the two are aligned.
Right. The other question that I have, and I don't have an understanding on this, is why is the NCSB so concerned with this issue? Mr. Jones has indicated earlier that, you know, his concerns for the farmers in the Pomo Valley area, which I am one of them, and I don't understand why he and the board collectively is so motivated to undertake this for the benefit of the rest of us who apparently don't perceive that there is any kind of a problem. We've certainly not asked for it, and we're the ones that own the land that overlies the water. I am not interested in having my water on land that I have paid for, continue to pay for, and you know, farm in this community taken over by any government agency. I am sick and tired of government interference. Question of what is the motivation behind NCSD being involved in this and being the promulgator of this. When Lady in Green asked the question, and she, I think, very succinctly pointed out the provision of the water code that deals about that it has to be formed by an agency that is in its use area, the answer was, well, we're going to form another group to take care of that problem, and I think that's what the answer was. But on the other hand, I also hear people on the board speaking as themselves, as NCSB being that agency, and that raises a concern to me. The other thing was that there was mention that there's going to be supplemental water, and that Mr. Jones indicated that he wanted to give 3,000 acre feet of water to farmers. And I want to know, where is the supplemental water going to come from? Are you going to take my water from my wells to provide supplemental water to somebody else who needs the water? I don't think I'd be happy with that, so I'd like an answer to that. Additionally, I think Mr. Fugate's question was never answered with regard to the funding for this type of thing. Someone just mentioned earlier, I think it was Mr. Jones, that's why if the NCSB can't fund this type of a project, that's why you're forming this agency. Well, anybody can form an agency. Where is the money coming from that you're going to need to do whatever studies you need to do, gather the information, pay whatever experts you need to pay in order to get this thing done? Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to know the sources of all these groundwater studies, the authors and everything that are biased with respect to groundwater. I know DWR is making extensive studies in this area very beneficial because they're constantly studying out between the flood control district and Department of Water Resources. It's a 3-year study supposed to be finished in early 1997, which will determine is updated the previous one, which at that time indicated there was a indication of groundwater overdraft. And this is probably either confirmed or not. It's gone out wider, gone into the hard rock areas to overlook this situation. I don't know all the answers because the agency has not been formed yet. And until the agency is formed and the plan is developed, that's where the answers come from. And the people in this area develop those, answer those questions because they put the plan together and if they say, well, where are we going to fund it? They come up with the type of funding. There has to be some initial funding, which, the district, California cities and county flood control district can come up with something. There's been some discussion with the Water Vice Committee, whereas the funds from the still out here could possibly assist something like this, or the sale of the state water project. Those are some of the things that we kick around staff. We're just exploring many, many ideas of how this thing all comes together. And the intent of supplemental water, I'm not sure where supplemental water comes from. There's a major source off to the west here that you can get all the water you can. It's just a matter of cost. There's some new technology coming out of Livermore. Whether that's going to be feasible or not on East Valley remains to be seen. East Valley process in the last 10 years through technology has cut the cost approximately in half. I don't think that will continue, but there are ongoing aspects of doing that. Southern California is very active in East Valley water. Metropolitan Water District San Diego are extremely moving forward. They can provide, in the last seminar I went to, the whole basin for an additional $8 as it was per person. They can put detox in process with space technology. Well, I didn't say anything about cost. I said there's a source.
Talking about it being a service, but there's a major cost pumping that.
Oh, I know.
Environmental, how do you get
across
the
scene
to put a plant on the
moon? How do we put a man on the moon? People saying, no fears. Okay, the technology can work out. Well, what the thing is anyone interested in you know, please let us know. We'll have another committee with people interested in the nation, and we'll go over all these questions and try to resolve them.
Sir, go ahead.
Well, that was the answer to the question of what was your motivation. And that was nice to bring to the question of what your motivation was. But I'd like to move on to another question. I talked to one of the guys at Donald Atlas, who's done some of the studies out here for the county. And he wrote me a little letter and said, the DWR is now in the process of updating the 1979 SIGRA and for and partially funded by the county. It is my feeling that the foundation of the groundwater management plan would be premature prior to release of this update and a period that would allow thorough review and comment. You should attend this meeting and ask when this report is due to be released.
That's the one I believe that Mr. Jones stated is it's going to be released in early 97.
Right.
That's the updated DWR Water Resources Report.
What
are their names, sir?
My name is John Snyder from the Cotton California.
John Snyder. Okay, thanks.
Basically, in terms of probation, has there been any specific situation where the state has come in and forced people to create a groundwater basin without giving them, say, like 38 notice to do it, and then the county coming in and saying, okay, well, we're going to do it for you without giving them enough notice to do it. So, you know, if there was some record from the state or county, would that not be first time to apply to, say, a group out here in order to allow them to create this district rather than doing it now?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question, but in the case of Fox Canyon, if the State Water Resources Control Board threatened adjudication, and with that...
They gave them ample notice, so they actually do something.
Right, they had a stick in one hand and a check in the other. That's not happening in Salinas Valley.
And there's no stick over
our... Right. Well, I would rephrase that. I would say that if you know as little about your groundwater basin as has come out tonight, I think there's a big stick over your head.
Well, I've only been on it for like 96 hours, so we're getting.
You know, the Salinas stick that you're talking about got overturned in court.
No, what got overturned in court were the ordinances that were passed by the Monterey County Water Resources Agency. The stick is still there. The State Water Resources Control Board is still threatening to go to court to adjudicate the basin. But it's going to move very slowly, yeah.
Yes, sir.
My name is George Dana, and I live in the Fort Hill area. Probably the first observation that hits me is the notification that this meeting was going to be held. It kind of smacks up the Board of Supervisors and some of their shady tricks that they try to pull on us. I would appreciate having known about this meeting, preferably from NCSD rather than through the grapevine. I've heard a remark made many times this evening that
before this is all over, county and firms that have done independent studies in the past chance to fully collect them?
Yeah.
Okay. She mentioned a couple of firms that are reviewing some studies now. If you'll submit those names of the studies that are under review now, we'd like to look at that as well. We're going to consider as much data as possible. We don't want to go out with anything to do, but that is expensive.
One other point that I'd like to make is that I kind of live in mortal terror of having to meter my well. Or if we have three or four wells, we're going to have to meter them too. And it scares me to death to think that something is going to come down the road that's going to force me to have to do that at $1,000 a pot. Bare minimum. They're talking in Salinas, and it may be costing $8,000 to meter a well. Well, that's a hell of a lot of money. Homeowners are exempt, that's great. I farm for a living. Farming is my life. And if it's going to cost me $8,000 to meter my wells each, that starts hurting. I am in farming for fun and profit. That's how I pay my bills, how I send my kids to school, and once in a while, if I'm lucky, I can buy a new car. But when a constant barrage of government interference comes along and keeps chipping away at my checkbook, day after day after day, people say, I know what's best for you, I'm going to help you. After a while, the pocket runs dry. I got to quit farming. I got to sell the damn ranch. That's been in the family for 160 years. I don't want to do that. That's why I get scared to death of little projects like this. The state of California is just as bad as the ringleaders of the bat. So,
good evening, Michael Rogers, Shell Farm up on Pomeroy. I have a certain sympathy for you guys. Many of us here, well, the remaining few that are here, were victims a couple of years ago when the last time NCSE decided to expand. I know my property taxes doubled, and there's about 35 people that benefited from it. I think that's what you're hearing a certain amount now, is we're a little worried about another massive expansion. I think we need good, clear information that something does need to be done before anything else needs to happen. Because otherwise, I can't buy into something that is going to be doing nothing except getting another justification for salary expansion.
And I imagine you're concerned about the expansion of NCSD services as well, not just the
that's come
story,
doesn't it?
Well, that's way down the road. We've got some areas within our own city boundaries here that don't have sewer yet. So they're, from an infill standpoint, a planning standpoint, sewer and now a library, it's not even in our thoughts and our notice matter right now. Yes, turn back to the white shirt.
My name is Mike Cavaletto. I am on the east side of the freeway, and we were kind of surprised to see that we are all of a sudden included in this project, but we always figured we were kind of the outsiders and not part of this basin. We'd love to be part of your basin. We'd love to bring some of that good water over to our side, but we're kind of left to our own. And I think there is a little premature in this. I mean, you're forming a district and you put the burden on us to work our way out of it. And I think you are premature until we get more information. And I don't know that what benefit we can be to you or you to us in our area being on the other side of the freeway. So I question whether it would be any benefit to us at all from the knowledge that I have at this point. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Calderon. Everybody out there, I expect a deluge of phone calls
probably.
Well, hopefully, hopefully we get phone calls, hopefully we get names and addresses so people can notify. In fact, I got a piece of paper up here. If you want to come up and put your name and phone number on, we'll notify you. I mean, when you start from scratch, it's hard to go through the phone book and pick out people that are movers in this community. We went through and best we could.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Let me repeat. I think I speak for the group. All I've heard tonight are protests. Is that not true? I hope you are clearly listening to this. I still would like to ask the question that still has not been answered. It was Jacqueline Frederick's answer, question. And that question is, why is NCSD motivated to create this district? I do not believe it's for our good. What is your reason? Why are you still interested in this? What are your benefits? I think it's fair to ask that question.
Sure, yep. Go ahead. You people keep saying what's motivating the board. It didn't motivate all of the board. I have been against this from the very beginning. I have been probably in a minority of one, and I want you to know that I have been against this. I am Wells, and I just don't like another government agency coming down the road is going to tell you if you can drill a well. The whole thing about this is it's you're going to have to ask somebody's permission to re-drill your well. Now you can go to the health department, get a permit, and put the hole in the ground, and that's about it. It's all going to change if this thing goes forward. So when you say, who's for this, it is not me, and I would like the people to know that. Thank you.
I'd just like to say that, personally, I expect no benefit from my participation in this this procedure. I feel that as a resident of this community that I want to contribute in an effort to ensure that this water situation does not get to where it's a critical situation. And it's been my understanding that if someone in this basin does not take this action, that the state at some point will move in and mandate that. Is that correct?
Thank you. As Carl pointed out, the state has code sections that are current where if a groundwater basin is in trouble, where they can initiate action to form management authorities, or they can initiate adjudication for water quality. If you take a look at AB 3030 in itself, there's a proviso listed within the first two or three sections that says in 1988 there'll be a report back to the state legislature on whether or not AB 3030 is working. 1998, whether AB 3030 is working. Most of the opinions, and I'm not telling you that all of them, most of the opinions were when AB 3030 was created, there was a component of the legislature that really felt that groundwater management was a serious problem in California. And that's what brought AB 3030 to the forefront. There is speculation, and it's only speculation until there's a vote, that if sufficient local agencies are unable to form groundwater management agencies, that new legislation will be forthcoming. I'm not threatening it, I'm just telling you what's in the public record, goes with the adoption of AB 3030. The state will eventually have the ability to manage groundwater basins if those groundwater basins are controlled. It's been a number one priority for the last 4 years, as far as I can tell. Water quality has been at the forefront of the state of California, and water has been at the forefront. Nobody is going to tell you that the state is ever going to come in and manage this agency unless it's in trouble, manage this groundwater basin.
Can I just clarify one point? That is, the state, even in Salinas Valley, is not moving into Manchester Basin. What they're doing is threatening adjudication through Section 2100 of the Water Code. So the state is not in the mode of moving into a basin and starting to manage it for a couple of reasons. One of which is, we know that you don't want it. In other words, we don't have the staff to do it anyway. So.
Maybe just the motivation, can I address that?
Sure.
Basically, the studies that the city has indicate that the Pomo Basin subunit is in overdraft condition. Our main water supply is out in the Mesa. And you can laugh at it and everything else, and you can bury your head in the sand, but if you go back and look at the documentation of reliable sources, it's in an overdraft condition. Now, the EWR is coming, pardon?
Well,
okay, but okay, look at the reports. Okay, you can say it's not true. Go out and hire. Okay, well, look at the reports. Okay, that's just one. Board reports one. DWR reports another. You can look at the reports. But the documentation we have is an overdraft condition. You can say an overdraft. And if it's not an overdraft condition, more the better. That's great. If you can prove to me that it's not an overdraft condition, that's great. You still need a groundwater management district. Ohio is a good example of a non-overdraft basin that is being managed. And it's the reason managed so that the benefit of everyone in the basin. And the motivation of the district based on the documentation we have is an overdraft condition, so therefore a groundwater management agency, which would not be the district, and a district that complies with this agency, is a two-edged sword. Would manage the basin for the benefit of all, including the district and individual property owners out there. And that's the motivation aspect of it.
Yes, Mrs. Brackett, go ahead.
I think one of the things that we're going to have to do if this is going to go forward is to keep it simple. The five-city area, I admit that it's a simpler situation dealing with municipalities who have control over delivering the water. They have a gentleman's agreement about how they're going to manage their groundwater. They all agree that each will only pump so much so as to not deplete that water. They also have LOPAD as their major source of water. 80-30-30 allows a lot of things, and a lot of those things are very, very scarce. And so if this thing goes forward, and again I repeat, it's going to have to include all of the stakeholders. It's going to have to be simple so that everybody feels that they are getting a benefit out of managing the groundwater. And so I have one question. Is there any way we can limit what we do and have it have some security to know that that limitation is going to stay for a fairly lengthy time? So that these people don't feel, if they do agree to something, that next year or when there's new political powers, that they're going to be stuck with needed wells or whatever.
I could address that just briefly. All of those concerns would be in the plan. Now, you have to understand, Doug made a very good point, and that is that nobody, this board, myself, Carl, or anybody sitting in there can accurately predict what that plan is going to be. Or if the plan is prepared, whether or not the plan will be prepared, will be passed. So in essence, if when the committees sit down and form the plan, we hope that the people that are on these committees will represent a consensus of the people that are here. The plan should be simple. I would agree with that. As stated. And maybe some of those things are scary, that are 83-30, and they can be eliminated in the plan. Secondly, if the plan has to be passed, and you can submit. There's no way I, as a lawyer, or this board member, or any legislator, can guarantee what the future legislation is going to be like. But there is one rule, one principle, and that's usually called the equal dignities rule. And that is, if you pass a plan by a vote of the people, you can only amend the plan by the same action. That's a legal term, but if you were to adopt a plan, and that plan would say, under no condition without a vote of the people or a vote of the landowner or something, that any further amendments to this plan can be implemented. And that would be the plan, and that would be the way, the only way that you can change the plan. So the answer to Bruce or Ms. Bragg's questions are all yes.
Sir, Beth.
My name is Mark Warren. I farm over on the east side of Thompson. I guess more than anything, I have just observations to make about tonight. Now that it's getting about the end of the meeting, it's easier to surmise what has been transpiring. I'm actually a little bit more than disappointed that NCSD is trying to move as fast as what they are at this point, because I think it's very apparent that there is not only dissent, but there's also confusion among the community and the territory that NCSD serves and what the board is looking to do, as well as all of the other people that lie outside of the territory served by NCSD. It would appear to me that tonight's meeting is at least a year premature, because not only is there that confusion, there's also, you know, no consensus of how we're even going to come together and take a group, say, of volunteers to even sit down and then discuss, hey, let's start pulling reports in and let's start discussing whether this is truly an overdraft, to what extent, if it is an overdraft, is it, to what extent, is it not an overdraft. Clearly that hasn't, this whole process hasn't been thought through yet. And whatever comes about, I believe, just as many people have said before, for the group, we're going to need to have at some time a groundwater management plan. And I think a couple of Egyptians way back when were saying, hey, we need to have a groundwater management plan or something. And this is a debate that's going to keep going on, you know, way past our lifetimes. For managing this, but I think we have a responsibility to try to put together the best type of a groundwater management plan that can be done. And you know, we have a map that's already been drawn that is, I understand, preliminary, and that's fine. So being that that is preliminary, being that nobody can make any kind of a consensus at this point on even how to come up and form a committee, pick a committee of volunteers to discuss this in more of, you know, somebody who represents the various facets of the community in itself. With that, that there's, once you decide to vote on the issue at hand, you have 2 years to put a plan in place, and if not, then you have to go back to where we're at tonight and start over again.
You have to wait a year.
Yeah.
I thought the plan was voted down. What is the clause where if the plan is voted down, you have to wait a year before it can be set up?
My recommendation, I guess at this point after now, I think I've made some of my observations, is, you know, anybody that's here obviously represents the community. Anybody that's interested in becoming a part of, I think, more or less a task force is probably the more appropriate means of proceeding at this point. We need to have volunteers from the community. I know the process of all volunteers, and then there's various people who are representatives as homeowners who may or may not be affected by this group, the farmers, the NCSD. I think anybody needs, who is, you know, sincerely honest about wanting to come together and work, not be a naysayer, not be great guns, let's go get it to hell with everything else, we've got to get something going. So we're not at that point yet. We do have an obligation as a community to put together the very best plan that we can do, and I know that NCSD hasn't done enough homework in order to be able to do that yet. And as the other part of the group, we haven't done enough homework to be able to come in and, you know, judge whatever plan you may put forth within 35 days. So I think, again, I think NCSD is a proper place for volunteers to start coming in and waving a hat, and you guys are the lead agency at this point. You are getting the ball rolling, and it does take work, it does take time. So my recommendation is anybody who's interested in being a volunteer to go on a task force and then start looking at the data and come up with at least some type of a reasonable consensus of what data is out there, what it represents. Maybe that should take place within the next 60 days. Is at the end of 60 days, have a meeting of all of the volunteers who have come together to want to form a task force, and then within that group or that body, start trying to create the body that can never work together. Because obviously it's not working out, it's not going to the way that you guys are proceeding at this point.
Well, I bet when you leave here tonight, though, you'll be talking more about it, right? So it serves some purpose.
Well, you know, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's but again, I think really, the really good intention is as well, because people don't come to meetings when they're happy with stuff. They do when they're upset. And that's why everyone, a majority of the people here tonight are protesting. People that don't have a problem with this, or either they don't know anything about it, it's very possible, or they're happy with it. So we want input from everybody, and we need that for the next, as you say, 60 days, 90 days, whatever it happens to be. All right, let's have one or two more questions and then try to close this part of the meeting, because we would like to continue to our home quarters and a few mundane board things that we have to do. The gentleman in the back is here, and the facility needs to close it up before too long. Well, I like to take the lady back there. Man, she's been waiting a long time.
I'm Lori Sharon. I live on Gillander Road. I feel like the people that live on the east side, we didn't get any notice at all. It was word of mouth. Maybe it was in the Oregon Daily paper, but I read public notices, abandonment of fictitious names. And I didn't even notice. So there were several of us here from Gillander Road that lived in the neighborhood. I think when you're putting together your task force as an input idea, go to the county, go somewhere and find out how many of us are sitting on private wells. Don't tell me about the big users. There's a whole bunch of us sitting out there with those private wells. And your wells, your big ones that you've approved, all your major big projects for the FOMO, sucking out of our wells. So stop your growth, sit back, kick back, relax, go to the county. Go to the Ruth Brackett, the Everloons, the Windies, or wherever they're there in the future and say, what the heck are you doing with our water? No more permits, no more acre lots, 2.5, 5 acres, limited. Maybe some of you people are blessed with wonderful sewers. Most of us with wells are blessed with septic tanks. You're allowing for a great deal of subdivision with very little control. You have a huge number of illegal trailers all around Calumet Road. You have major problems. You want to limit my water? You take care of your problem. When I first heard this, I said, we're not in it, thank God. We weren't in it last time, we're not in it this time. Son of a gun, you didn't suck Calumet Road into your district. You just stay out of Calendar Road. I'm a Roy Brandy mailing, I'm the Sheriff's Department, I'm the CDF, I'm not you. You don't pay to sink my well, you don't pay to pull it up. You don't pay my astronomical PG&E bills on 3 wells. And you don't ask me if I'm sucking sand, good water, or bad water. But you want me to have a search engine for $10,000.
We're all supposed to have little storage capacities up now for the fire department. You know what that's going to do to your ground level? Save a lot of houses. I feel sorry for the poor guy with one inch of eyes. The other thing is for the gentleman over here, who I never could see but I recognized the head. I think it's Mr. Jones. If you have to go through the phone book to find the mailing list in the Mesa, this is very archaic. We have computers. Punch in the rows, spit out the names, there comes a label. Volunteers will put them on. Old people call them and they have nothing else to do. Help them out. They're very bored. Thank you.
The reason why the district is concerned is because we do draw from the same gas tank
and there are a lot more users that are going to that same gas tank to draw. And it makes sense because it's a finite gas tank with a finite geographical area that comes into it. And doesn't it make sense that it is, in truth, a regional issue? Those people that are overlying the gas tank, and should there be some type of, I don't want to say control, but some type of knowledge gathering management tool to manage that gas tank? Now, that may address a whole lot of issues, the motivation, what is foreseeable to use. One of the things that maybe people don't understand is that this district doesn't have land use. The people that determine what goes on, what golf courses go in, what residential units are developed, is primarily the county. And that is the land use agency for it. And that's why we feel it is important to include, or why some of the thought is to include.